The following is an excerpt from The Great Gatsby, written by F. Scott Fitzgerald. The other girl, Daisy, made an attempt to rise. She leaned slightly forward with a conscientious expression. Then she laughed, an absurd, charming little laugh, and I laughed too, and came forward into the room.
I'm paralyzed with happiness.
She laughed again as if she said something very witty, and held my hand for a moment, looking up into my face, promising that there was no one in the world she so much wanted to see. That was a way she had. She hinted in a murmur that the surname of the balancing girl was Baker. I've heard it said that Daisy's murmur was only to make people lean toward her, an irrelevant criticism that made it no less charming. At any rate, Miss Baker's lips fluttered. She nodded at me almost imperceptibly and then quickly tipped her head back again. The object she was balancing had obviously tottered a little and given her something of a fright. Again, a sort of apology arose to my lips. Almost any exhibition of complete self-sufficiency draws a stunned tribute from me. I looked back at my cousin, who began to ask me questions in her low, thrilling voice. It was the kind of voice that the ear follows up and down, as if each speech is an arrangement of notes that will never be played again. Her face was sad and lovely with bright things in it, bright eyes and a bright, passionate mouth. But there was an excitement in her voice that men who had cared for her found difficult to forget. A singing compulsion, a whispered, "Listen." A promise that she had done gay, exciting things just a while since, and that there were gay, exciting things hovering in the next hour. I told her how I had stopped off in Chicago for a day on my way east, and how a dozen people had sent their love through me.
"Do they miss me?" she cried ecstatically.
"The whole town is desolate. All the cars have the left rear wheel painted black as a mourning wreath, and there's a persistent wail all night along the North Shore."
"How gorgeous! Let's go back, Tom, tomorrow."
Then she added irrelevantly, "You ought to see the baby." "I'd like to."
"She's asleep. She's 3 years old. Haven't you ever seen her?"
"Never."
"Well, you ought to see her. She's..."
Tom Buchanan, who had been hovering restlessly about the room, stepped and rested his hand on my shoulder.
"What you doing, Nick?"
"I'm a bond man."
"Who with?"
I told him.
"Never heard of them,"
he remarked decisively. This annoyed me. "You will," I answered shortly. "You will if you stay in the East."
"Oh, I'll stay in the East, don't you worry,"
he said, glancing at Daisy and then back at me, as if he were alert for something more.
"I'd be a goddamn fool to live anywhere else."
At this point, Miss Baker said,
"Absolutely,"
with such suddenness that I started. It was the first word she uttered since I came into the room. Evidently, it surprised her as it did me, for she yawned and with a series of rapid, deft movements stood up into the room.